The following is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle. This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
Can you help me? I think I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Real Auburn fans bleed orange and blue. What about you? And now, your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb for AUFans.com.
Oh, yeah. Listen to that crowd, Stan. I'm fantasizing that that's for us.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that may be a little far-fetched, I think. But I think, Stan, we are the Rick and Bubba of the Auburn Football Podcast. Do you have an amen for me?
Amen, brother? Rick and Bubba? I mean, let's see now. Let's think about that. Rick and Bubba, they've got about 300 stations. And we've got, we're pushing hard, but maybe 50 listeners, but we're growing.
Well, okay.
We're growing, Jay. You're right.
All right. Well, listen, folks, I am Jay Webb.
And I am Stan Stevens. And this is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
Well, let me tell you something. You are listening right now. You are in the presence. Well, you're sort of in the presence. You're just listening to a genuine expert, wow. An Auburn expert. I mean, you don't have to take the sandals off your feet or anything like that, but Stan deserves a lot of respect as an Auburn expert. He's lived Auburn everything since he was a kid. And you should see him right now in the West Wing studio, all decked out in his Auburn gear.
Yeah, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is true. Jay, since I was probably a wee lad of maybe 10 years old. In fact, I recall listening to Pat Sullivan.
Oh, yeah.
Now Coach Sullivan take his first snap at Auburn. I was 10 years old. And
cool.
My first Auburn game was later that year. I went with my uncle, Al Bigger, who was a legend.
Bigger man.
Yes, he was. And for any of you folks out here who may be Auburn High School graduates, let's have a show of hands. How many Auburn High School graduates do I have?
I see. Okay.
So, he started teaching at Auburn High School in the early 60s. And taught math at Auburn High School for about 30 years. But he's the guy responsible for, he was the first guy to go to Auburn University and from our family. And so that's kind of where I got it. And then, like I said, I started out with Sully. And then, Jay, just a few years ago, my cousin, John Michael Clay, was the first kid that Coach Sullivan recruited to Samford. And so I got to meet Coach Sullivan. As some of our long-time listeners remember the website before, we upgraded it. Mm-hmm. It had a picture of me and Sully when I got to meet Coach Sullivan down on Samford's campus. So, yeah, it's been a lot of years spent in the orange and blue and some lean times, But we're back on top, so to speak, with Coach Malzahn.
Yeah, man. See, trust me, people. Stan is the expert. You can't look to me for it. The only expertise I have is making strange mouth noises. You want to hear one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's some expertise.
Now,
we
got to funnel that into the and you've got the War Eagle down pretty good, Jay.
So, War Eagle.
That's it. Yeah. See. Yeah, so that's why, ladies and gentlemen, again, it's voiceofjweb.com.
All right. Now that we have all that out of the way, let's talk Tiger football.
Absolutely.
All right. So our guys are 5-0. That's cool. We hope they hold on this coming weekend, but more about that a little bit later. Let's talk Auburn versus LSU. So what in the world happened to LSU, and how can we perform like that every time?
Well, here's the thing, Jay. I mean, we'll get to this later. There'll be a little bit of eating crow a little bit later on, but I'm glad to eat crow in this regard. 41-7. I had predicted a much closer 31-24 game. I really
Yeah, you blew it.
Well, I did. But, you know, some of it, Jay, is just, you know, we were two, as we talked last week, we're 2-6 against LSU.
Yeah.
And I still had a little bit of, you know, hangover from the LSU effect. I mean, it seemed like the Mad Hatter and LSU had always, you know, kind of risen up and played us pretty tough. And honestly, the way we'd kind of looked the last 2 weeks, now, of course, on the reverse side of that crowing, as we'll get to, you know, I said last week we will come out throwing, and we did, and we were successful. And I felt like that was something we needed to do, and obviously Coach Malzahn did as well. But, you know, also defensively, Jay, at least up till right now, this defense, this Auburn defense is playing at a much higher level than we've played in several years. I think we're finally starting to see, you know, Coach Johnson's genius manifested on the field. And so the biggest surprise for me this year so far, Jay, is just how well this defense has played. Now, I had a feeling, and maybe Coach Miles made a mistake, the quarterback they played, that true freshman, as we had mentioned last week, you know, this is going to be his first, I think, in one of your top 10, you know, reasons – playing on the big stage, and you could see the kid was confused. The crowd noise, the announcers even made, you know, a comment that it was one of the loudest crowds. And, I mean, Auburn crowds are loud. And, you know, congratulations to you folks that, that went to the game. That
yeah,
added
making
that.
Noise.
I mean, it was. So, you know, we jumped on them early, Jay. Yeah. Now, we drove down. We got a field goal. You know, Carlson again, 46-yarder.
Man.
I mean, the kid's really, really kicking well.
I was very impressed.
He gets 3-0. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, we and next thing you know, we have a long pass. You know, Sammy Coates made an incredible catch. I mean, that was a, you know, an ESPN top 10 type play. He, you know, I mean, because the defensive back was right there with him. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a great throw by Nick, but it was there, and Coates went up and wanted it, and then goes like 9 yards with it for the touchdown. So once we got up 17-0, you could tell. Now, LSU did come back. They had a couple of big plays. The LSU quarterback did make that one long throw where we actually overran the play. Trevon Reed was really there even on that play to make the play, but he overran it. And then LSU scored, and that was pretty much it for them, you know, for the night. And then we kept scoring and then pretty much kind of let off the gas in the second half. But, you know, talking about that game, Jay, you could see this LSU team, you can tell they are feeling the effects of a couple of years, guys going early in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of talent on that team. I mean, if you follow the recruiting ratings, you'll see LSU has been in the top five every year. It's not a lack of talent for LSU. It's a lack of mature, experienced talent. And, Jay, we see once again in the SEC, you can have, you know, you get all this, you hear all about these kids coming in, you know, they're 18 and they're five-star recruits. And you time and time again, we see how tough it is. I mean, if you've got a team dominated by young guys, it's going to be tough. I mean, the SEC right now is about as tough, you know, top to bottom as I've seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, only really this year, only Vanderbilt seems to be really, really down. But
well, as far as those young guys are concerned, I mean, I haven't played, so I can't, you know, say this. I can't attest to this perfectly, but I would expect there's a huge difference between high school ball and college.
Well, there is.
Just that alone. But then when you go from any high school to some of these top 10 schools, man, it's got to be a world of difference.
Well, it is, and that's the biggest shock to these kids. You know, you're going from being the best player maybe in the whole county, the whole half a state, you know, versus when you show up at an Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, all of a sudden, everybody there is as fast and been there, you know, been there at least a year longer than you have. And so, I mean, it's a huge difference. And you saw Auburn just, I mean, they were really, really much more physical and just more athletic than LSU. Now, it'll be interesting to see what LSU does as the season progresses and those kids get more experience. All right. So, pretty much to wrap it up, Jay, there was really not as much to talk about Auburn LSU, only because it really, from the opening whistle, Auburn dominated physically. You could tell that right now we're just a lot more experienced than LSU. Nick Marshall is just a world ahead of the LSU quarterbacks. Our passing game was there. I mean, Sammy Coates, and I'll tell you, Jay, we get Sammy Coates and Duke Williams, and we start putting it. Now we need to add one more, you know, one more or two more guys like that. I'd like to see the ball maybe go to C.J. Uzuma a little bit more. But the running game was, you know, Nick had over 100. Cameron Artis Payne, I mean, he continues to he may not be quite as overall as good as Trey Mason, but he's playing pretty solid football right now, Jay. So, I mean, again, we had shuffled our offensive line, and the offensive line actually played better with this new lineup. Now, I don't know how it'll go, how we'll go, you know, forward on Saturday if Pat Miller, you know, apparently his ankle injury was significant enough he didn't play at all. And again, defensively, we keep getting better. So that was pretty much it with LSU. It was just a dominating, and then it was, I mean, huge win for Auburn people. We hadn't beaten, you know, we've lost so much to LSU. It was nice to really, you know, play a complete game and stick it to them.
Okay. So now, before we look ahead to this weekend, Mississippi State, what else happened in the SEC last week?
Well,
how'd things go?
You know, it was not only in the SEC, Jay, they were calling this past weekend like Upset Saturday. I mean, it actually started Thursday night. Oregon, who was ranked second, got upset by Arizona. Also, Oklahoma, I think, ranked fourth, lost to TCU. And then, of course, you had the SEC games. Of course, the big upset, obviously, in the SEC was Alabama going down to Ole Miss. Now, the Tide was really, to me, I watched the game. They looked like they were pretty much in charge. They had an opening drive in the second half that kind of fizzled. And then, uncharacteristically, you know, Ole Miss went down like in four plays and scored. All of a sudden, you know, it was a ball game again.
Yeah.
And then again, Alabama fumbled a kickoff late after the game was tied. And again, that's just not indicative of a Nick Saban coach team. So, you know, I mean, but listen, Jay, this Ole Miss team, I mean, this is as good an Ole Miss team as they've had in a long time, especially defensively. And so, I mean, obviously that was a huge upset. I do look for Alabama to rebound. But now some of the other games, I mean, I don't know what's going on in Columbia, South Carolina, but South Carolina goes in. And again, they're up by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and Kentucky comes back and beats South Carolina. I don't know. I mean, Kentucky's better. Okay. Mark Stoops has done a heck of a job up there with them, Jay. I mean, he's, you know, but they've just, I mean, South Carolina, I'm not sure what's going on with the Gamecocks. Probably the most disappointing game for teams, for some fans in the SEC, was Tennessee losing to Florida when they had just dominated the Gators. They had to kick three field goals, and then Florida replaced their quarterback, Jeff Driscoll, with a true freshman, and he leads them to 10 points, and Tennessee doesn't score anymore, and so Tennessee loses 10-9. Again, this was a game that Tennessee should have won. To me, I watched this game too, and they dominated most of the action, and then just out of nowhere, the Gators win.
Wow.
You had, of course, our opponent Saturday had a huge game at home against Texas. You know, previously undefeated and seventh ranked Texas A&M, and the Bulldogs took it to A&M pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, the score ended up being 48-31, but it was 48-17 late. And then, as Mississippi State's been doing here in the last two games, they gave up two really quick touchdowns at the end. But I mean, this is not your granddaddy's Mississippi State. This is probably the best Mississippi State team I've ever seen. It starts with Dak Prescott, their quarterback, and I mean, they really took it to A&M. A&M did have 9 drops in the game, though, Jay. 9. I mean, that would have, believe it or not, would have really significantly changed. I don't think it changes the outcome, but a game that ended up basically being a blowout could have been a lot closer. I mean, I don't know how you drop 9 passes, not at Texas A&M. Well, I
certainly couldn't help them. Could not.
No, so, but anyway, that was what happened this weekend. It was, like I say, really big games and some big upsets.
So this coming weekend, we've got number 2 Auburn versus number 3 Mississippi State.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well,
where are we going to go with it?
Here you go, Jay. This is going to be the biggest game in Mississippi State history. I mean, I don't know if State's ever been ranked 3rd, not in my lifetime that I ever recall. And, you know, it's a CBS game. It's the featured game of the day. And, you know, we've had trouble with, as you recall, last year. It kind of, you know, Nick had to drive us the length of the field. And I think we scored with, like, you know, 10, 11, whatever seconds. To take the lead last year.
Yeah.
Coach Chizik's last year, I mean, they beat the tar out of us in you know, over there.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they're going to be confident. This is, like I've said repeatedly, this is the best Mississippi State team that I've ever seen. They're big. Dak Prescott, legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate, Jay. I mean, the guy, everybody knew he could run it. There had been some discussion about how well, you know, could he throw it. Well, he throws it. He's got a big league arm. And
All right. So
that's, I mean, this will be obviously Auburn's, I think, toughest test since, you know, Florida State in the national championship game last year. I'm encouraged by what I saw Saturday night out of Auburn, their ability to be able to throw the ball and not just, you know, be one-dimensional. I think you're going to see Gus at his very best Saturday at mixing things up. I think he'll know the Mississippi State scheme as well as it can be known. And but I, you know, this is a big, physical, and fast Mississippi State team, and I wouldn't be surprised for it to go either way. You know, again, they've got this Josh Robinson kid is a running back for them. Big, strong, fast, 230-pound tailback. Mississippi State's offensive line is massive, 300-plus every guy. They've got two really big they got a huge wide receiver in this DeRunyon kid. And again, it's going to be a big challenge for our defense. What we need to do, Jay, I believe, is we've got to stop that run. We cannot allow – This Robinson kid to gash us for big runs, because if they are able to run, then the play action pass and, you know, I mean, Prescott will even be that much more dangerous. And we've been, as you've noted out in some of the other programs about, you know, our rush defense has really been improved this year. So we got to bring the A team on stopping the run Saturday.
So you think that's our biggest threat?
Well, that's
or their biggest threat to us.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that's the key. If we stop the run, if we get them, and I'll tell you this, Jay, the one thing that was a little disappointing, even though, and I might need to mention this, LSU was 0-for-13 on third downs. I've never seen that I recall, especially of a team of that quality. But what's funny about that, or interesting about that, Jay, is they were getting 5, 6, and 7 yards on first down. Well, usually that's a recipe for disaster. You know, you get ahead of the chains, you got second short, and you can throw it, you can run it, you can do whatever you want to with it. I mean, that's you, and yet Auburn, I mean, to go from like second down and 3 and then hold you know, the team to a punting situation was just amazing. So we can't, and I will say this, this Mississippi State team, as they showed, is a lot better than LSU. If we cannot stop, you know, put them in second and long, I mean, you know, we're not going to get, you know, 1 yard, no gain every first down. But we need to make it, you know, it needs to be 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7, you know, maybe 2nd and 5. But if we don't do that, that's where you're going to see success from Mississippi State. If we can get them in long, third and long, you know, five or more, you know, consistently, then we've got a chance to get off the field, you know, get Quan Bray back there for a punt return. Now, offensively, again, Jay, we need to even do more this week than we did last week. And what I mean by that is we need to get more guys involved. And I'll tell you what, let's make another prediction here. This will be for my future crow eating. Okay. I think Gus Malzahn even pulls out even more of the playbook this week. You're going to see something or some things more this week than we've seen heretofore. So, it's going to take that. It's going to be a war. You know, it's going to be four quarters. I mean, the cowbells. Oh my gosh! I already listened to Rod and Stan on the radio while I watch it, Jay, because that'll filter out some of that cowbell stuff.
We hope.
Well, that's right. I may have to go to the sign language network. I'm going to go ahead and say Auburn 31.
Okay.
Mississippi State 28.
Going to be close.
That's tight.
That's going to be a
but
tight
Jay,
we'll see.
I mean, I missed it a little bit, but go ahead and just, I mean, take that to the bank.
All right, man. So what about the rest of the SEC?
All right, well, and there's some other, I mean, really big games and some important games. All of a sudden, Florida, who I had written off, is back at home against LSU. So we're going to find out. Now, I heard late this week that I think Sunday night that freshman quarterback I was telling you about that came in for Florida, he was unfortunately I think arrested or something in some kind of issue, and I'm not sure, I haven't heard whether he's even going to be on Florida's team. So they're back to Jeff Driscoll. LSU, I'm going to say the Gators beat LSU in the swamp. My upset special this week, Jay, is going to be Missouri hosting Georgia. I think everybody's still, you know, they're on that Todd Gurley bandwagon, and Todd Gurley is maybe the best player in the country, running back for Georgia.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. It's my gut. I'm going at home, Missouri, to upset the Georgia Bulldogs.
All right. Well, we'll see.
And then, of course, Tennessee will beat Chattanooga. I think Vandy gets a win over Charleston Southern. Stop the presses, yeah. But another tough game. We're going to find out a lot about, you know, Alabama and Coach Saban's bunch, because they're traveling to Fayetteville, Arkansas. And, you know, we played Arkansas, and they're improved, Jay.
Yeah.
And their offensive line, if Bama doesn't, you know, if they're not able to kind of bounce back, I mean, it may be a long day. I think the tide will roll in Fayetteville, but it's going to be close. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me how that game turned out.
So
and
they'll have a fight.
They will have a fight. If I will say this, Bama bounces back and really throttles Arkansas, that's probably a good sign for the Tide. And then, of course, another upset, and I'm really torn on this because I really like the way Ole Miss is playing and their defense, but – you know, there's been a history of teams when they played Alabama, you know, if they won or if they came close, they, you know, they have a letdown. Ole Miss has got to travel to College Station. I don't think Texas A&M is as bad as they looked. Like I say, 9 drop passes, Jay. 9. I mean, they don't drop those passes at home. I think the Aggies are going to upset the Rebels. I think the state of Mississippi is going to tumble a notch just after being on top of the mountain. I think they're going to come down a little bit. And, again, I like Ole Miss, but the Aggies upset Ole Miss at College Station.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it.
There you got it, folks. You got it all right there.
Now, let's see. Jay, I guess I do have stuff coming my way. When I say stuff, I mean I've got to eat a little bit of crow.
Really? You mean like that?
Well, yeah, something like that, Jay. What? Man, how did you?
Away.
That's spooky. I missed the Auburn game, but that's the kind of crow, Jay. I'm really. you know, I'll be glad to miss a 3-point win and let's win about 30 Saturday.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So I did miss, you know, Bama. I thought Bama would win, and I thought Tennessee would win, and I said so, and I actually said Tennessee by 10. So that's you know, if I don't do better than that this week, Jay, I'm gonna have to really get some heavy duty salts and and something, because that crow is you know, that's, I don't know. So anyway,
all right, Stan. So we've asked folks to subscribe to the podcast. So people are on the site. They put in their email address, and they can be subscribed and get these podcasts in their email inbox every all time right. one is made. And also, we've got the AskAnAUFans.com expert graphic right there on the website. So people have actually been going for it. We got 3 questions. And so I'm going to turn this over to Stan, the expert man, and let him go after it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am the Auburn expert, the AU fans expert.
No, I don't mean that laugh.
That's probably apropos, Jay. Well, we've been holding on. We've got 3 questions this week. We've been holding one for a little while. It was not necessarily an AU fans question, but it comes from one of our loyal listeners, SP. And he asked kind of a dual question. One, he wanted to know how many teams out there are kind of known as UT. And I think this particular individual is a strong Toledo Rockets fan. And apparently, Jay, as it turns out, up in the upper Ohio portion of the state, if you happen to walk in and mention UT, well, the University of Toledo, I think around here, University of Tennessee comes to mind, perhaps out west, University of Texas. So there's 3 teams that would be UT, and I'm sure we could probably find some other schools with a T in them. But and then also there he posed a question about Jameis Winston and what would you know, how did I think that, you know, maybe Florida State would handle that? I don't think there's any question at Auburn. It's no secret now that Jermaine Whitehead, Jay, who was a starting safety for us, had some type of incident with one of the coaches, and I just read that he will not be traveling again. This will be his 4th game to miss. I don't know, you know, what might have taken place between, but obviously in this particular case, Coach Malzahn's really, you know, come down pretty hard, and I think Jameis Winston is, you know, is obviously a very talented football player, but I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, the things that he's been involved with. So anyway, we appreciate that question. Now, we had a couple of our loyal Auburn Tiger type questions that were asked from LB, listener LB. She asked, how much gum and what type of gum does Gus Malzahn chew during a ball game?
And that's a great question.
I happen to know that Coach Malzahn chews, get ready for it, folks, double bubble, and he chews about 40 pieces of gum a game. And at 20 calories a piece, Coach Malzahn's got about 800 calories he's got to burn off just in chewing gum, Jay.
It probably doesn't take him long walking up and down that field.
Well, if you've ever seen him over on the sideline, he is yep. Coach Malzahn. It's not just his offense; it's hurry up, no huddle.
He's putting out the energy. Okay?
Man, I'm telling you. So that's it. Double bubble. Everybody, go out and get double bubble in honor of Coach Malzahn. And 40 pieces, I wouldn't recommend unless, you know,
unless you got a football game to coach.
Well, unless you got good dental insurance. So, and then finally, a question comes from listener KV, and she asked, who do I consider the greatest coach in Auburn history? Not football coach necessarily, just the greatest coach. Now, Jay, we've had some great, obviously some great coaches throughout the year. It starts out in football. You may think of John Heisman. A lot of people may not know that the Heisman Trophy is named after John Heisman. He was one of the first Auburn coaches, and I think Auburn is the only school where he coached that somebody's actually won the Heisman. Of course, we've had, you know, Pat Sullivan, Bo Jackson, and Cam Newton win the Heisman. You come down through the years, some of the other sports, Joel Eaves, who's the basketball arena at one time, bore his name. He won one SEC championship, which, you know, back in the time for basketball was probably pretty good. Coach Jordan, I mean, his name is on the football stadium. Coach Dye is Pat Dye Field. Great coaches. We've had some good baseball coaches, Coach Baird. Many of these listeners won't know, a great wrestling coach. Arnold Swede Umbach, Jay.
Why did they call him Swede?
Well, there was this time he was over in Sweden, Jay, and he saw this. That's not really true. His parents were of Swedish descent. But the thing about Coach Umbach, Auburn at one time had an incredible wrestling program, and he won a lot of what was called Southern. It wasn't like SEC, but it was Southern championships in wrestling, and he was a great one. But Jay, I guess drum roll would be appropriate here, if we had a drum roll. But the greatest coach,
in Auburn history,
would be the former swimming and diving head coach Dave Marsh, who won 12, count them, 12 national championships. Man. Jay, seven men's titles and five women's. And at one particular year, and I don't remember which one it was, they won the men's and women's national championship. And before anybody starts, you know, giggling too hard over this, I mean, swimming is a big deal, Jay. I mean, Auburn dominated. Auburn won 17 straight SEC championships, they won 17. They won more than that. They won 17 under Coach Marsh, 17 SEC titles. And, I mean, Florida and Georgia and Tennessee certainly are three other really big schools into swimming. Texas and Stanford, Arizona, I mean, swimming, has anybody ever heard of Michael Phelps?
I know that.
Is this on, Jay? Michael Phelps, he's an Olympian.
Anyone?
Swimming. So, but to answer the question, Dave Marsh, there's nothing that you would drive through Auburn and think, they got a cement pond over there. This guy was just incredible. 12 national championships. So there you go, folks. That's cool. David Marsh, the greatest of all Auburn coaches, albeit swimming.
And so that's your last question? That's all of it.
That was it.
That was just really awesome and inspiring. Thank you, Stan.
You're welcome, Jay. And thank you, listening audience. And continue to challenge me or ask my opinion. I love it.
And finally, we have a shout out to a new sponsor this week, and so we want to say a big hello and shout out to Antonio, a new sponsor of ours from La Placita Restaurant, and that's located on Hughes Road, Madison, near Gates Cleaners. So that pretty much wraps things up. Stan, what do you think?
Well, I mean, let's get the Bulldog Saturday, Jay. We got to keep this thing going.
Yeah, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Jay.
You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, with your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com in association with Webb and Stevens Unlimited Media. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!